Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello, episode 275 of The Scope. This seems like it's a momentous occasion in a way. Every time you hit these quarter...
275.
Yeah. Rolls off the tongue. 275 episodes of this show. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed we did more than five, but here we are.
Yeah.
Just will not let the old dog die, babies.
We've done 270 more than five.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Over the course of, I think, 12 years now? Oof. We started in 2006. Yeah, we just finished our 12th year.
So
oh my
We predate the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It did not exist.
We predate most podcasts.
That's true. We do.
We're one of the oldest podcasts.
We have to be at this point. There cannot be.
Especially you have current ones.
Yeah. We have to be an anomaly in a very bad way. So we got Jared in the house. Adam is here for a second show in a row. I am here as well. Adam, in our last show, you teased X-Wing Miniatures World. What is that?
What is that?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, I mean, what do you
What is that? I don't even know.
It's a world championship of X-Wing tabletop miniatures.
Is it local when you, or do you have to fly away to someplace?
It is here at Fantasy Flight Games headquarters in Roseville, Minnesota.
Do they always have it here?
They do.
So are you playing like ranked matches or are you part of it?
I'm playing in it.
You did are. You, did you're you not to, just like an exhibition.
You
you're
don't
actually,
have to qualify. You just
well, what the fuck is it
sign up.
Worth?
You sign up.
So are there people from across the world that are showing up for this?
Definitely. The
has anyone alerted the airport for the extra traffic?
The guy that won last year was from Singapore, I think, and then the guy the year before that was from Belgium. So it's, you know, it's a world championship.
What are your chances? What are your chances in this?
Not high.
Why? What do they do that's so much better than you?
I don't know. It's like when someone plays chess, that's really good. They just have a, you know, they just are good.
Have you played against someone where you're like, oh boy, this guy is smarter than me and is going to wipe the floor with me?
most times
most
I play
of the time.
That's
you mentioned chess. Do you think this is a sort of game that at some point we're going to program a supercomputer to master?
Yeah. No.
When you're playing this game against somebody really good, is it like they're playing three-dimensional chess and you're playing checkers?
It's like I'm playing against Donald Trump, and they're 40 steps ahead of me at all times.
Right, except he's just pooping on the game board.
This is the third year I've gone, and I have beaten well-known competitors both times.
Were they mad when you beat them?
No, I don't think anyone really
the board,
gets...
Flip the table.
The first year I played, I didn't
Do they
know
they swear
who,
at you in a foreign language?
Do they take your X-Wing and step on it?
That hasn't happened to me yet.
But that, has we'll that ever happened? Someone got so angry that they
sure.
broke?
I'm sure someone has done
but
that.
But not an attorney type of situation.
Maybe. Probably not in like a world championship
Yeah, that would
level.
Just be bad form.
It's a pretty good community. You know, like if you compare it with video game communities, for example, it seems better than that.
Right. Well, yeah. That's exciting. Tell me some of the prizes. Let's say if you do well in this. Is this like a big cash prize or is it just
no.
like, you get a Millennium Falcon? You know,
real Millennium Falcon?
No, the unmodified solo Falcon. You know,
maybe
I'm sure that piece is coming.
Maybe like a book of McDonald's gift certificates.
Oh, there we go.
Get some orange juice. All you can buy is fish fillet sandwiches.
You get fame.
No ketchup on those.
No fortune. So the grand prize winner... gets to help Fantasy Flight design a card.
I thought you were going to say they get to help clean up after the tournament. Get to push a broom around the room.
They get to help design a card.
Spend a little extra time there at Fantasy Flight.
That comes out in the next year. No, whatever. I'm used to talking over you guys.
We're ripping here. We're ripping. We don't do that very often.
And they get, you know, their name on a plaque. They get fancy dice to use in future years. They're just like, you know, sparkly or whatever.
Yeah.
They get special templates. The game has, you know, comes with cardboard templates to move your ships.
Sure.
But these are acrylic or whatever.
Oh my God, what a dream come true.
It's a lot of acrylic. It's you know, it's a fun hobby. No one's
Add
making
more acrylic than a nail salon.
It's not like...
no one's getting hurt.
It's not like esports, right, where there are people that are making... No one's making their living playing X-Wing.
You're celebrating strategy in Star Wars.
You mentioned esports. Is anyone during the X-Wing games shouting out racial epithets?
That's most games. But you have to, again, it's the streams. You have to watch the streams to see people in the chat doing
that. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes
who doesn't
sense.
Love a good racist tinge to your eSport or your X-Wing battle? Can you watch a stream of these games?
Yeah.
Really?
Fantasy Flight does their own Twitch stream for this, and a lot of the popular YouTube channels will.
Can I just tune in for your matches? Do you have a schedule?
Are you featured? Could I see you on these things?
No one is featured. They just have the top table. So if I happen to be undefeated at some point, yes.
Okay,
it's like
there's
poker.
600 to 800 people playing just X-Wing. The Fantasy Flight does all of their Star Wars World Championships. It's May 5th or May 4th. Wow, May 4th is this weekend, so that's where they center their. So they have a bunch of other card and dice games. They'll all be there.
So do you get based on how you've done in previous tournaments?
No,
it has
nothing to do with that.
So
you
is it a random draw?
Say I want to play. You put your name in a drawing. If you won a regional or a national event, then you get in automatically. But everyone else, it's just...
So you could have possibly some of the best players facing off against each other right away, right?
It's Swiss rounds, so yeah, the first round is random.
Swiss rounds?
That's what it's called.
That's my favorite Little Debbie treat, by the way, the Swiss rounds.
It's
a pretty standard matchmaking format. So everyone random at first, and then all the 1-0s play each other, and all the 0-1s play each other, and then... The round after that, all the 2-0s play each other, the 1-1s, the 0-2s.
Can you offer sexual favors to get a better seeding?
You don't have a seed, as I just said. You're playing.
We're not listening. We're really trying to make this work.
You lost me at Swiss rounds.
But we're excited.
I don't know what a Swiss round is, really.
I feel like we need to go and watch at him and cheer him on. My kid makes signs now. Maybe we can hit
her. You can't get in without a badge, so it's not going to... work out too well. You could probably walk in. I doubt anyone would actually say anything at the door. Seems like
a white guy. He'll get in anywhere.
He's got privilege. Huge privilege.
Just look like you're supposed to be there, and trust me, you do.
It's like living life on easy mode.
You beat me to that joke because I was going to say it if you didn't. Well, that's exciting, Adam. I'm very excited for you. I'm cheering you on in my head, and I hope you win some of those acrylic sliders.
I'm here instead of at a tournament that's going on to get some practice. So I'm really making good choices.
Well, do you have any new techniques or new fleets that you're going to drop on people so they don't know?
A new fleet maneuver?
Yeah. No. That would be a great idea, but usually you want to just use the same squad that you've been using.
Sure.
Have the most practice with.
Familiarity, they say.
Exactly.
He's really thought about this.
All I think about.
Got to ride with those that brought you or something. I don't know what the phrase is.
You got to do that. Well, guys, that's a great segue into the rest of our show. We are, for this momentous 275th episode, we are doing the classic nerd roundtable. We've got a bunch of nerdy topics, or maybe not nerdy, maybe pop culturally relevant, and we're going to discuss them in a well-mannered and a thorough way.
Sure.
And I cannot wait to do this. So... why do we do this, Jared? We'll take a break.
Okay.
I'll time it perfectly, so when I'm done talking, you'll jump right into something, and then we'll jump back out of it to get into the meat
we'll do it live.
Of our scope, 275. Let's do this right now.
FumpFest is taking place Memorial Day weekend in Chicago and will bring you a whole weekend of funny music with performances, games, panels, and more. This year's performing artists are Lauren Mayer, 2D6, Bill Larkin, Mark Gunn, Matt Griffo, The Library Bards, Mikey Mason, Power Salad, Steve Goody, Witty Cindy, The Shandy Shipwreck Show, and our FumpFest 2018 guest of honor, The Four Postmen.
Whatever happened to the chainsaw juggler? He was a good friend of mine.
Plus dumb parody ideas, Dementia Smackdown Wrestling, and Dare to be Weird, a Weird Al burlesque tribute. FumpFest is taking place May 25th through 27th at the Elk Grove Holiday Inn just outside Chicago.
This is Luke reporting live from FumpFest 2017, and now we have Dornail with a comment. Dornail? That's how much fun you can have if you come to FumpFest 2018.
Visit FumpFest.com for additional information. That's FumpFest.com.
Yeah. And we are back. It's the Scope Nerd Roundtable Swiss Round Edition. The Nerd Swiss Roundtable. How about that?
We like it.
I want Jared to look up Swiss rounds and tell everyone the definition.
That was the original name of the character in the second Indiana Jones film. Swiss rounds. They went in a different direction. They didn't want
to. No time for love, Dr. Jones.
No pasty blonde kid.
He'd be way too tall.
Yeah.
Swiss System Tournament is a non-eliminating tournament format, which features a set of number of round-robin competitions, but considerably fewer than a round-robin tournament.
It's six rounds.
In a Swiss tournament, each competitor, team, or individual does not play every other. Competitors meet one-to-one in each round and are paired using a set of rules designed to ensure that each competitor plays opponents with a similar running score, but not the same opponent more than once.
Ooh.
The winner is the competitor.
Pull out!
The winner is the competitor with the highest aggregate points earned in all rounds, while competitors play each round unless there is an odd number of players. Interesting.
There you go.
So you just rack up points, and most points wins at the end, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, points is wins in this case, though.
Points is wins.
Well, yeah, obviously. Huh. Now we learned something.
You're welcome.
We're better people.
Listeners.
All right. Here we are, Nerd Swiss Round Table. Jared.
Yeah.
Adam.
Question one.
With the latest phase of the MCU coming to a close next summer, there's been a lot of talk about some of the main actors like Robert Downey Jr.
Never heard of him.
Retiring from their star-making roles.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the big scope question. Should characters like Iron Man and Captain America be recast, or just let them go their own natural way? So I guess the main question is, shall it be more comic booky, or do you just come up with different characters? Jared, Adam, your takes.
Well, you say recast, are you talking about the same character?
Yeah. No, we'll say
so
that.
So there's a brand new Steve Rogers.
We'll just say that Captain America is always there. But in the next movie, it's not played by who you
Chris
like.
Evans. Chris Evans. But it is, again, it is still Steve Rogers? Or
sure.
Is
yeah, because in the comics there have been different Captain's America.
Right. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it always comes back to the original character.
Sure.
The original person that plays. There have been multiple Iron Mans, but at the end of the day, there's always a Tony Stark around.
I say no.
Really?
I say I'm in favor of, like, if you want to follow the comic arc and Falcon becomes Captain America, you can go that route. Or someone else becomes Captain America. But I don't think you should recast a Steve Rogers. I don't think you should recast a Tony Stark.
I agree with Jared.
I think you can have those characters be inhabited by other people in that universe. But I don't think that it's right to unless you're going to reset everything and start over like 10 years from now. But in the current continuity, I think it would be weird.
Like, we've done it with Spider-Man, right? That is Peter Parker, but it's a different Peter Parker every time. It's a different, you know, whatever
different,
universe.
Different movie universe,
yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not giving people credit, but I don't know that people would be able to get it or understand or something. Also, I don't think it's necessary. Like, yeah, Captain America can be the title, but a different man or lady, me too, can do it
but
as they want.
Also, maybe just rely on the strength of your brand and bring other fresh new characters forward. What do you think, Shane?
Union Jack. Why is he not tearing up the charts?
It's a very good question. I feel like, you know, I come from a bit more of a purist comic background. I feel like you could recast if you wanted to. I just think that it'd have to be done in a way that would be unique.
Guys, we're still
like some sort of de-aging Ray.
We're like,
yeah, I mean, I think
30 years after Becky left Roseanne, and people still don't get it.
That's a great question, because we have a Roseanne question coming up next. But what I'm saying is that there are ways where, you know, if they decide to not necessarily reset the universe, but there's a lot of weird stuff you could do with multiple universes where you could bring characters in and out. So I don't think.
Oh, you think it's a multiple?
Could be. Yeah, could be. I mean, you could have a Steve Rogers. I think what's going to happen at the end of this second or the sequel to the Infinity War is that there's going to be some weird universal stuff, and they're going to have to sort that all out. So I think they're laying the groundwork for multiple versions of Captain America, multiple versions of Iron Man, And I think that you might see some of these worlds colliding.
Is that your guess for what happens in the fourth phase?
I think that you have to have a way to bring some of these characters back. So okay. So maybe that's how they do it.
Black Panther 2 is starring Earth 2's.
It doesn't mean that you have to have different. You know, everybody has to be different. You could have the original Black Panther, but all of a sudden now you've got a Bruce Banner that's somebody else, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're laying the groundwork for that, and you've got a history of like the Marvel new universes and the I can't even remember, the Ultimate Universe, where they had this parallel line of mm-hmm. comics, and then all of a sudden they
zombies,
and then they folded it into the main Marvel universe. I think that is the next step, and like the multiverse concept. Don't they have multiverse stuff in Ant-Man? I mean, isn't that where?
Yeah,
isn't that where the original Wasp could be living or something like that? So I feel like that's where you start getting just trippy stuff. And I think they hinted with some of that in kind of the Doctor Strange traveling through all these different dimensions.
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely do that.
So I feel like they're building a world where you can always have a Captain America. It doesn't necessarily have to be played by the guy that's been there for 10 years.
Remember how he said we're in the end game now? What do you mean? This is back to last week's discussion.
He definitely saw something in his vision where he felt it was his need, or the important part of his role was to make sure that Thanos got that time stone for a bigger issue. Clearly, I mean, it wasn't a willy-nilly thing. He didn't like Tony Stark enough to save him like that. Mm-hmm. So there was a thought behind it. We'll just see if the rest of the crew can make it happen. By the way, spoiler alerts for Avengers if you're skipping around. You're skipping around scope episodes. Any other comments on my fantastic take?
I just feel like you're splitting. Yeah, I feel like you're splitting hairs, because it's like I think you're saying the same thing Jared and I are saying.
It sounds like you want a Captain America to stick around. Want there to be an Iron Man.
Yeah, I feel like there should be these characters in that universe. I don't think they have to be there all the time. I mean, they could have it where they do what you're talking about, Jared, where they have a different character play. But I think ultimately I like to see the iconic versions of those characters.
But I'm saying, if you're saying recast them because they're from a different universe, isn't that the same thing as basically...
Well, it might be an Earth 1 Steve Rogers versus an Earth 2, but it's the same, a similar type of character.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the same as...
No, so I guess the question is, if we want to get into the details, like, they just have, you know, Avengers 5, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Ryan Phillippe playing Tony Stark.
Fingers crossed.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of a good...
You know, I'm just saying something like that.
You can't go with his trademark Platinum Blonde, probably. But.
I don't know if they would do that. I think that they would find a clever way to make sure that those characters are around. I don't think they would take that easy way. Because they've talked about how Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. So, so if you're going to eventually have somebody else that is playing that character, it has to be different.
At this point, Iron Man literally comes out of him.
Right. So I think we'll see, and I honestly believe that some of this will become clearer in a year from now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like they haven't planned for this.
No.
They knew that these actors weren't going to be in these roles forever, so they have a plan, and hopefully it's an entertaining plan.
What if they're just, like, shooting the breeze? They're just, like, winging it. Like, guys, what if today on set we just kill everyone?
I think that if that's the case, they're doing a really good job. We'll fix it in editing.
Right. I mean, we should have talked about this in the review, but they definitely leave room for a little bit of wing in it, just for, you know, in case inspiration hits.
Yeah. So, like, hey, we need to have a movie that stars a woman.
I know.
Hey, we need to have movies that represent people of color, because we don't have that. So.
But those people don't look like me, Shane, so I don't know if I like that.
Then you cannot relate to them.
I cannot.
I've said this before.
Now, Ryan Phillippe as Tony Stark, I can relate to that.
I feel like I was on point with that. I've said this before, Adam. There's nothing in the TV show Atlanta that speaks to my life, but it's my favorite show on TV by far. So there you go. I'm just saying that people can expand beyond what is comfortable to them. And that's a lesson we can all grow on. Thank you.
Yeah, but you're always like talking about being Paperboy.
Question two. Friend of the show John Norton recently asked, I want to ask about the show Roseanne. So Roseanne is, by all accounts, a very, very successful reboot, or I don't know if it's a reboot. They're bringing back the entire original cast of everyone that's alive. It is killing it in the ratings. It's doing very, very well. Very traditional the way it's shot. It's a multi-camera sitcom. The big dilemma was her Roseanne Barr being this Trump supporter and some of the stuff that she said, and will her show be able to overcome that, or how will that sort of encompass? John's concerned about that. He said, Shane mentioned what a huge fan of the show, the original show he was, and I'm assuming at some point you'll review the new season. I found this surprising now. I don't claim to be an expert on Roseanne, having seen very little of the show, but the little I have watched, I couldn't stand, and I was really surprised to hear that you enjoyed it. To me, the show is about a white trash, uneducated, ignorant family that anyone who was their neighbor would probably hate. Knowing you guys, you're all the opposite of that, except for Adam. I may have added that in. So I found it strange that you two, that you had kind words to say about the show. Whenever I would catch glimpses of it, I found it unwatchable because I in no way related to any of these people. Funny, we just talked about that. And this is to say nothing of Roseanne's newfound pro-Trump point of view, which I've heard permeates the reboot. I understand that a lot of Americans would watch this and relate to it, but I just don't, and I wouldn't think that you guys would either. What am I missing here? It's a great question. So let's talk about the original Roseanne, first of all. John, when you say that you're concerned about the fact that Roseanne could be this uneducated hillbilly, yes. I mean, I think that that is a component of the show. But that show also spoke very, very important words about race relations. There was an episode about DJ, who is her youngest son, who was in the school play, and he would not kiss the role he had, it was for him to kiss a girl. The girl was black. He wouldn't kiss her because she was black. And this was in the late 80s, early 90s that this stuff was coming out. Mm-hmm. And they addressed that. And it was very progressive at the time. The show had, I think, the first lesbian kiss on television. Very, very progressive. They dealt with spousal abuse. They dealt with just people who were poor not living in this fantasy world. Like, if you draw a comparison to any sitcom of the time, they dealt with issues that absolutely were not standard in any other sitcom. It was not a Perfect Strangers type of thing. Was Roseanne obnoxious? Absolutely. Was she sort of mean? But yes, but she also had a heart, and at the end of the day, I think that it was all about the strength of their family. Now you go back to, now you flash forward to this new show, and number one, it's a struggle for me sometimes to deal with this show because Roseanne in real life seems like, your crazy aunt that buys into all of this.
She's a Pizzagate truther.
This nonsense that is really, really frightening. That being said, I think the question is, can you separate the art from the human being? And so far, I kind of have been able to, but I don't know if I want to. It's still a struggle with me. That being said, her show is not really a necessary. I mean, there was one episode about Trump, and that was it. They've never mentioned it again. It's never been on there.
Mm-hmm. So it's not permeating
the
show.
It's absolutely not permeating. Now, they're only halfway through the season, so there absolutely could be more on it. But from what I've heard, they're more interested in handling issues that are dealing with, today's real world in America. And some of that might be working poor. It might be people that are dealing with struggling with health care. And we'll see if some of these Trump issues sort of leech their way into that. Jared and I have talked about this before, trying to understand the point of view of Americans that did vote for Trump, that, don't live the same lives that we live. And I think that it's something we all struggle with.
You mean economic anxiety.
Economic anxiety or other anxieties,
Right.
So I think it's fair for John to bring this stuff
owning
up.
Owning the libs, I think. Is
yeah.
The-
right.
But I do feel like...
Or the loss of white privilege.
That's right. But don't you think that there are people out there who are normal people that don't necessarily fit the mold of what we would consider sort of that crazy trimp?
Yeah.
True.
Oh, 100%.
So, I mean, I feel like you can't just discount that blindly. Now, do we have disagreements and... Can you deal with that in a constructive way? That I don't know. But I don't think that everybody that voted for Trump or everybody that watches Roseanne is some crazy person.
Right.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it.
Well, and it's a shame everything has to be binary.
Right. There's shades of gray in everything.
Right.
I mean, I watched the show growing up. Roseanne.
Do you feel like my analysis was fair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like my mom was raising three boys, and it was just her salary as a teacher, and neither my dad or my half-brother's dads were helping very much.
Right.
So it's like we were not well-to-do. I never felt like we were, you know, poor, yeah, or anything like that. But
you didn't have the BMW in the garage,
right,
you know?
But I don't know if I like related to the show or if I just found it funny,
yeah,
or, you know, whatever the case was, or if I was like, man, some of these people are going to go on to somehow still be in TV 30 years from
right
now. not on A New Roseanne, but just on
somewhere else.
Everything.
Yeah.
But I just remember liking it and not feeling like, yeah, I guess it felt different. But at the time, it's like you had other shows like Grace Under Fire and even like Home Improvement, I guess, to some extent, where even though Tim Allen's character had a television show, it was like mostly like it's like a middle class television show. It seemed like that was like kind of the thing
in the
early
90s. Those are a little bit later in the Roseanne
run.
I mean, you think about the shows that Roseanne came out in 89, I believe. So, I mean, your shows were The Cosby Show. Your shows were those standards.
Let's unpack that one.
Your shows were more standard, like Growing Pains and stuff like that, you know, the tail end of that. You had Full House. You had all of those type of shows. I mentioned Perfect Strangers. So, I mean, you would get glimpses of that stuff. But I feel like Roseanne spoke more truth. Even if I didn't relate to it, it felt like it was a part of America that was closer to a drama than it would be some of that nonsensical sitcom stuff, which I loved just as much as well. I loved Different Strokes, and I loved, you know, Facts of Life and Silver Spoons and all that stuff. But Roseanne had an edge to it that was totally different.
Yeah.
And I think you have to give it credit for that.
Remember when she sang the national anthem badly and then spit on the mound?
Yeah, I mean, so you know, you've got to look at that in context as well. Jared, you were about to say something.
I'm just saying I'm one of those outliers who didn't. I mean, I recall watching Roseanne in passing, but mm-hmm, I've probably seen barely any of it.
Sure.
And so I don't have this fondness for the show that a lot of people have. So that's all.
That's okay. But yeah.
So I'm not watching the reboot
right
at all.
And that's fair. And I think that people that have issues with her political stance, absolutely. It's a perfectly fair decision to not watch her show because of who she is. I just think she's probably mentally ill, if you want to know the truth. I mean, at the end of the day, there's not a lot of logic that's coming from her brain. And I also know that there's a lot of smart people that have made her show, you know, who are in the writer's room. Norm MacDonald,
Whitney Cummings,
Wanda Sykes, yeah. Whitney Cummings running the show, for Pete's sake. You've got, you know, a lot of people that are on that show are really liberal people. And I think that everything that I have seen so far, for the most part, has been fairly progressive, with the exception of some of the crap in that first episode, which I don't know. I mean, I get why they were breaching the subject, but it just seemed a little
right.
Whatever. You
but
know?
Also, it's like if it wasn't Roseanne playing the Roseanne character, like if it wasn't a person we know outside of the sitcom playing that character, it would just have been the character,
right?
So that's the other part of it. It's like it's a lot of like. A lot to do, maybe about nothing. Because why does that change things?
And the funny thing is, like you get a lot of the conservative media machine backing the show, like, oh, Roseanne, but like there's so much in this show that is against that particular value system, which mm-hmm. makes me sort of laugh. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to be ripping on Hillary supporters the entire time. I mean, they're dealing with kids that have gender identity issues and alcoholism and things like that.
Well, and then so is it any surprise that since the first episode aired, like all of that's really died down?
Clearly, because it is the show that it is. And that was just one of the social issues that it's trying to address
mm-hmm.
for better or for worse. But a lot of the other stuff is, you know, I think truer to what most people would expect Roseanne to be.
All right.
So there we go. Final question of the day, guys. We're going to get back into heavy nerd stuff. Order these movies in order of how much you want to see them, from least to most. These are summer blockbusters coming at you. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. We saw a trailer for that. Solo. We saw a trailer for that. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Didn't see a trailer for that. And Deadpool. These are all coming out this summer.
All right. Jurassic World.
I sort of feel
what
like...
What was the rest of...
Jurassic World, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Jared,
uh-huh.
Ant-Man and the Wasp,
yeah.
and Deadpool.
I got it.
I feel like the least exciting of all these movies we'll all agree on.
Especially after that newer trailer today.
Can we all agree that Jurassic World is
now
the turd in the
I liked
in the
first one. Like, it's dumb. Like, it's very like it is like the quintessential summer popcorn movie. Especially the being able to like talk to dinosaurs of that. But that trailer, it's like they've turned it into like a horror movie, mm-hmm. but like in a Gremlins 2 sort of horror movie. When I don't know what it was, Super Raptor uses its talon to open a bedroom window in the trailer. It's
like, I can't even open some of my windows in my house because they're so crappy, but that sucker goes right in there.
Yeah,
do you agree with that, Jared? I mean, you and I were not as high on Jurassic World as a lot of people. We walked out of it going like, hey, it had some good moments, but it felt closer in structure and the core beliefs of it seemed closer to the sequels of the Jurassic Park, maybe like the third Jurassic Park film. It's really hard to top that first Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and
really
when
hard.
It was initially announced that director of that one, Colin Trevorrow, however you pronounce his name, was announced to be directing Episode 9 of Star Wars, I was kind of like, really? I'm happy he's gone. I was like, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, I think that was a reluctant 3 stars.
Okay.
So we got Fallen Kingdom at 4, so that leaves the heavy hitters, Solo, Ant-Man, Wasp, and also Deadpool.
Yeah.
I think out of all of these, the Deadpool trailer is the winner, right? So that's... But is that the number one film you want to see?
Here's my question. This will help me with Deadpool.
Yeah.
Well, is TJ Miller being edited out of it?
He will be in it, but I think that he probably...
He's getting back on LinkedIn.
I think that he will be in it about as much as he was in the first one. Okay. I think that he's probably too key to the film that they could not have cut his role out completely. So...
Spots 2 and 3 are hard for me because this kind of gives away my top one, but
that's fine.
Deadpool and Ant-Man, like, I liked Ant-Man, but it felt very ancillary in the grand scheme of the MCU. Deadpool was, I feel like, as good as people were making it out to be.
It matched the hype.
Yes,
absolutely.
To me, but. I don't know if I need a sequel. No, okay. Yeah, this helps me.
He's convincing himself as we go.
I'll go Jurassic World is my least exciting, then Ant-Man, then Deadpool, then Solo.
Why is Solo, with all of the hubbub about the lead actor, what's his name, Jared?
Alden Ehrenreich?
Yeah, like he doesn't quite seem to be able to capture the spirit of Harrison Ford.
And the trailers,
hard to tell, right? But... You've got Donald Glover, who is
killing it. Who's going to be the star of that movie?
He's killing it.
It's Star Wars.
Why don't you pull up a seat, baby?
I have a hard time not liking Star Wars.
Right.
So it's... And, man, I started thinking about this from The Force Awakens. They really missed a good opportunity to use the Millennium Falcon in low Earth near the land in 4, 5, and 6. Any scene that has the Millennium Falcon, like, you know, like near buildings or near the land, it's like a cool.
Yeah. And that's happened in both the new films.
I bet so they couldn't do it. I think the special effects are probably limited in some of that.
That's right.
Jared, we've got Adam's list.
Yeah. So
I bet your list is exactly the same.
No, it's not actually.
What?
So number 4, Jurassic World, 2, The Lost, whatever it is.
Fallen Kingdom. Lost World.
3 is probably Ant-Man and the Wasp. 4 or 2 is Solo. And number 1 is Deadpool 2. I am super hyped for Deadpool 2. I know. More than a Star Wars movie, but that's where I'm at. That second trailer is so phenomenal.
Stunned silence.
Rob Delaney is just answered the ad. And
we love Rob Delaney. That guy's the bee's knees.
He's halo jumping with the rest of the team. It's amazing.
Because he's there, Jared. And he's got an active Twitter account, so go figure. I think that my list would probably be the same as Adam's.
No?
I have a hunch, though, that I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to surprise us.
Well, they moved
summer. I think that's going to be a surprise film. Like I think I liked Ant-Man better than a lot of people. I think, it suffered from a shitty villain.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You have the pure charisma of Paul Rudd doing exactly what you want him to do. And now, you know, you're bringing another key hero into the universe with the Wasp. You've got Michelle Pfeiffer, who could be the original Wasp, so you've got some interesting stuff going there. And then hopefully this is going to kind of bridge that gap between between Ant-Man and the Wasp and then this Avengers film. Like, you're going to see where he was, and they're going to answer some of those questions. And I'm all about filling out the tapestry.
Great points. I would say it's number three on my list for one simple reason, or two simple reasons. One, we've only seen one trailer, and it was a couple months ago, and I haven't rewatched it. So, and I really like the trailer, so maybe I just need to rewatch it. And two, this movie doesn't come out for several months yet.
We got a little ways to wait.
And Deadpool and Solo are weeks away.
Is Deadpool that close?
Yeah, it comes out in May.
Wow.
Yeah, they're back-to-back weeks, I think.
I think so. So I'm more excited for the thing that's coming sooner,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. We don't want to waste all of our energy for the whole summer. We want to front-load it and then go from there.
But you're right, Shane. They did move it from fall to July 5th.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. Like,
yeah, we're getting...
Marvel must, you know, feel good
about
it.
Those Marvel guys are so cunning.
In the space of just over 6 months, we're getting three Marvel movies. Uh-huh. That's insane.
It is crazy, and I'm excited to see what they do. Well, good list, guys. Good job. You've thought about it on the fly. You know what you're doing.
Thanks, Shane.
I mean, this is an incredible team of people. A huge brain trust. We definitely are playing three-dimensional chess. Jared.
Wow.
Take a break. We'll be back. With coming soon after this.
Three geeks on the internet. WSCP.
Under the scope.
All right, Adam, we are getting towards the end of the show, but we have to know what's coming in this following week. Please. Please. Coming soon.
All right. We've got some music from Beach House.
Beach House, another band that's been getting a lot of play.
Mm-hmm, I like them. Jess Williamson, Rye Cooder, Seven Dust.
Oh, here we go. Not quite Tool, but in the wheelhouse.
Simeon Mobile Disco, The Body and...
Is that a phone company?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something else that it could be. The Sea and the Cake. Not Cake's new band. The Sea and the Cake. Movies. Man. Listen to these.
I'm waiting.
Big hitters. Life of the Party.
Huh?
Is that Melissa McCarthy's?
Yes. She wrote, directed, and stars in? Maybe she wrote and stars in. Man, I finally watched Spy recently. I think you guys watched it.
We did. I think we liked it.
And
we
you
liked
guys
it better
liked
than,
it a
we,
lot.
We liked it better than we thought we did. Was it a lot?
I think you get 3 stars or something.
Yeah, we liked it.
Okay. That movie's genuinely good.
Yeah.
But she has a bit of a seesaw. With her movies, like
right.
some the of heat, them are really good, or some of them are really bad.
A lot of people love The Heat.
We hated it.
Mm. What did she have one like called The Boss or just Boss or something?
And that's Boss that, Baby. You're thinking.
And then she had the one where she was like, thinking. It was like it was a just name of a female like Wendy or something like that, and that was another one that she wrote and directed. It was an idea she had, and it was terrible.
What do we got here?
Yeah, I actually asked my kid. Would it be fun if Mom went to college with you? Would you went to? She's like, as long as she's fun. But I don't think you're going to be fun.
Yeah, The Boss.
And Carrie's like,
Tammy.
I'm fun.
You're thinking Tammy.
Tammy, that's what I'm thinking.
Tammy. Oh, she was in St. Vincent. I keep meaning to see that movie. You saw St. Vincent, didn't
yes.
you?
With Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. I liked it a lot.
She wasn't so manic.
I don't remember her in that, but
no,
whatever.
She was like the mom of the kid that he hung out with, I think.
The mom of the kid, yes. Not Bill Murray's weird European girlfriend.
No. Keep going with your list. See. Come on. Let's
Breaking
get
out of here. In, The Seagull, and Terminal. Not The Terminal.
Just Terminal. Like just someone's terminal. On life support is what it sounds like to
I
me.
Think so. Home video. We've got 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray releases of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Mm.
Phantom Thread. Source Code. A movie I genuinely like. And Saving Private Ryan. And then Batman Ninja. Have you ever
they
seen
love DC loves to do these cartoon movies, don't they?
And 50 Shades Freed. Video games, finally. We've got, I don't know. Conan Exiles, Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire.
I thought it was like the new home video game for Conan O'Brien.
Steins Gate 0B and Laser League. So nothing's
Laser
coming out
this League. Way. That sounds like a really bad 80s cartoon.
Nothing's coming
Let's out. Join the Laser League, everybody.
But there's one more thing.
Yes. Is Laser with a Z or an F?
S. The boring way. Jared has a hit it or miss it.
I like it. Adam's taking over the chief hosting job. Good job.
He's ready to go home.
I'm also going to go with a hit, and mostly it's going to go based on, because I'm not really aware of the status of this album, if it's good or not, but this is based on the group's past work. and I'm going with Arctic Monkeys, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
Yes.
Now, they've been on a bit of a hiatus, haven't they?
2013 was their last
album. Those guys kick ass.
So, 5 years in the making, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
He just said twink.
Now, isn't, what is Tranquility Base? That's a, like a moon landing thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Sounds right.
I think so.
Yeah, so now we've built a hotel and casino there, right?
That's the next step.
Yeah.
Obviously. I've heard one song off of this album, Jared. I think that you're going to like it.
Great.
This
Symbiote.
Symbiote. This is a band I would see in live concert. I would go see them.
It's got a brand new album.
Symbiote. How's that spelled?
Symbiote.
I don't know. You're going to have to.
B-Y-E.
Oat.
You got it.
With dashes in between all three syllables, Jared.
Or so, brand new Arctic Monkeys coming out.
Fantastic.
I'm going to check it out.
Do it.
You know how most British guys, when they sing...
Just to stop this for you?
Yeah, sure. You know how when British people sing, they like kind of lose their accent? You know?
These guys don't.
Oh, man. It's like more.
It's like the guitar is just...
They double in. Double British.
Maybe they got a special like British accent pedal to put on the guitars, and it just makes everything way more trippy. Hey, guys. Welcome to the end of the show. This is where we say, hey... Got any opinions for us? Got any feedback? Got anything to say at all? Reach out to us. Comments at thescopeshow.com or call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Adam's just getting ready to do some jumping jacks to keep
loose.
He
wants to go home.
I got to get up.
Got it. Or you can reach out to us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter. Those links are over on our website, thescopeshow.com. And if you'd like to support the show directly, head on over to patreon.com/thescopeshow where you can pledge as little as a dollar an episode. Is more than if you want. Set them up again.
What?
I don't know.
It's a late Sunday afternoon.
My brain didn't formulate a sentence there. You can cancel any time. Your support directly helps us with our hosting fees, our equipment fees, our PowerAid Zero refills. Shin's got to keep it. Got to keep hydrated. Or if you're shopping on Amazon, go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click that affiliate link, and your purchase helps pay for this show. It's a simple thing to do. Adam, because Adam's standing up. Shane, back to you.
Fantastic. Guys, it was a pleasure. Another great show under our belt. 275. We can tell our kids about it.
Or I don't have any kids.
Or we can all tell my kid about
it. I will approach random children on the street and says, 275. Have you heard about it? I'd be like Trump talking to that kid on the lawn.
We got the best show, 275.
Fantastic. Adam, thank you. Jared, Adam. Let's wrap this thing up. Jared, Adam. Jared, Adam. Jared, Adam.
Yeah.
Jared Adam. Jared Adam. Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Adam. We find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying au revoir. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.